everybody, and welcome back to yet another episode of Gameable Audio. This is episode 15, and we're on the theme of summertime. And I am your host, Christopher Kvenström, and this week was kind of supposed to be me alone, but in the end, I was able to grab this one other podcast guy under the name of Moderus. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Chris.
It's definitely a pleasure. I've listened a little bit to the work you've done. I really enjoy the work you're doing as well. It's so much fun to also meet somebody else who is kind of excited for video game music as well. I'm just like a normal amateur guy, just usually inviting composers and so on to my podcast to talk about music. But you're more of a guy, maybe you have invited some people to your podcast as well, but most of the times I've listened to it, it's just more enthusiastic about the music itself. So who are you, and can you talk just a little bit so people know who you are?
Ooh, well, let the mystery come out now. I am Martyrus. I am the host of ReVGM, a podcast about video game music that plays covers, remixes, and arrangements of original video game music. Well, along with their originals, of course. You know, I usually play the original first, and I play the follow it up with a cover or remix or an arrangement of the track. Of course, most of my episodes are thematic. On occasion, I'll do something else. You know, I have two special episodes on stage now where we play a list of tracks from cover remix artists and at the listening lounge, which allows a cover remix artist to play their just released album. Still working on that special episode, but on stage now I've been attempting to keep it a monthly thing.
That was pretty nice. Considering who you are and why you kind of were brought into video game music specifically and decided to make a podcast out of this, what's your background with video games and video game music specifically?
Well, first and foremost, I am a gamer. Second of all, I guess I have a little bit of a background in music. I mean, my first instrument I played was a piano, pretty typical, I guess, for maybe some people. But of course, also playing video games, you know, I also like listening to the music from the game. And, you know, I guess it's become more prominent recently, you know, that I'm now listening to more and more video game music, you know.
Yeah. What makes you listen more to music today? Is it due to the fact that you're working on a podcast, or did it become a greater interest before that?
Yeah, it's I guess it's because it's, you know, because I'm still playing video games, you know, and actually coming across podcasts like Rhythm and Pixels, you know, and XVGM Radio. And I was like, oh, really? There are actually people out there that listen to video game music also. So it was that, you know, joining and being a part of that community of people that, you know, not just play video games and socialize, but they also listen to video game music as if it was just regular music.
Yeah. No, I just love a lot of these things. First and foremost, when I grew up, I didn't listen that much to video game music. I actually lived in a home where basically mainstream music were pumping most of the time. So every time I kind of sat down to play some video game, my parents were like, oh, turn that music off. So I just ended up listening to a lot of mainstream music while playing all these amazing adventures, in my opinion. So for me, getting older and purchasing all this nostalgia back, I was like, holy crap, the music is freaking awesome. And that kind of drove me into podcasts as well. I started listening to some Swedish podcasts surrounding video game music, and then I started listening to more international video game music podcasts as well. And that is kind of my adventure within the video game music. So for me, this is all kind of still new, even though I've been doing the podcast since 2017 right now, my own thing. Mm-hmm. And then before that, I was listening to that for like 7 years or so. But it all still feels so fresh and new to some extent. And it's just crazy, in my opinion.
Well, indeed. I mean, it seems like there's always something new to listen to. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's an old video game you used to play back then.
Yeah. So when it comes to music as well, I mean, just like video games have kind of exponentially gotten better, we've actually seen this happening to music as well. Not music itself, of course, music evolves all the time, but we had classical pieces before classical pieces were available within video games, of course. But now we can hear and get these more orchestral themes and so on within game music as well. We can start to listen to video game music at parties today, and people are like okay with it, and it feels so good, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think the first event I went to, it was, and it surprised me because it was a event that had cover and remix artists that were playing video game music.
Mm-hmm.
And that really intrigued me. It's like, oh, really? Wow, I didn't know there were such things as this. I mean, yeah, there was the mainstream concerts and
yeah,
you know, stadium performers and such, but you know, an event exclusively for video game music. Mm-hmm. It's just like, mm-hmm, wow.
No, it's like Magfest, for example, right? It's just more circulating around video games, and they have this venue with artists and so on, if I remember correctly.
Yes. One of the most talked about events for any video game enthusiast. Though sadly, I couldn't go this year, but hopefully next year I will go to Magfest.
I really hope I will be able to make it to any Mag something, because I live in Sweden. It's more of a cost for me to go to the US in order to be at these events. But I would definitely love to go to one of these events because they seem so amazing. Just getting there and all the different artists seem so like, well, they're kind of just showing off and they're really giving themselves to everybody, it seems. I don't know for sure, but that's the kind of view or picture I get just following it on social media, for example. It just feels like a really inclusive event.
Oh, definitely. And I guess the closest thing we have excuse me, I guess the closest thing we have right now is Rage Cage's episode on VG Emporium, where he recently attended MagWest over up in Northern California.
Ooh. That's nice. That's really nice. I need to listen to that episode. It's just getting off topic now, I feel. So today we're going to talk a little bit more about the summertime. So summertime is usually like a re-encountered encore kind of episode or theme that I utilize when I have my vacation times. And considering how I feel about summertime music, I usually tend to go back to the nostalgia and to the tunes I really do enjoy from like every year. It's rarely I put up new tracks, it feels like. So I definitely enjoy that you are joining me in on this one, so I'm not just repeating myself over and over again. What are usually your kind of take on VGM music and during summer times? Do you also usually pick up like older tracks and listen to them while you are having a vacation, or do you have any specifics?
Nothing specific, really. I mean, I know that last year I actually did an episode on a beach theme. Well, it was an episode about video games that were located on a beach of some sort. So I played a few tracks. Nice. I think one of them was Super Mario's Sunshine, if I recall. So, because it was at Delfino Beach, if I recall.
Huh, nice. I still haven't played that game, but I do know the Delfino Plaza and the music from that game. Yeah. Just adorable. I was so close to picking one of those tracks. But I didn't, because I usually tend to go for the less known tracks. And I think this could be like a good segue to actually go in for the first track of the week as well. So let's actually sync this up. As we're talking about the beach anyway, I actually chose this track, Beach Buds, from the game Short Hike. Thank you. there we fade out the track Beach Buds from the game A Short Hike. I actually remember getting this game on Epic Game Store when they actually just gave it away. And a couple of years back, I actually played it through during a lunch. It's not that, well, just like the title of the game says, it is a short hike. So you can basically complete it in like 2 hours or something like that. Wow. Really neat, nice little game. A lot of zen in this one. It doesn't have a lot of kind of UI elements with HP and so on. So like, no, you're this little bird just walking around on this little island, having your short hike, meeting different people, and just enjoying life, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And this is such a sweet little experience, in my opinion. I love the music because just like the Beach Buds, it's so serene to some extent. And you have the kind of what is it called, the instrument they're playing. I forgot the English word for it right now. The harmonica, but when you pull them back and forth. Anyway, it's not super important, but I guess when it comes in, it for me, when I'm thinking about like a nice, neat, serene experience, I'm thinking of a cafe to some extent, and this instrument, it kind of brings that to me. It feels like I am maybe in France or something like that, just enjoying like a baguette or a croissant or something like that. In this game, with the Beach Buds, you're basically walking down to the beach and you can meet this little club gang. And they in the beginning, they were like, oh yeah, you can get strong, you can get into our club and just enjoying. But of course, you're just walking around. That's your thing. Right. So you can just keep walking, or you can try to interact with them more and more. You can revisit them by going back later. The game is still kind of open world to this. Since you're free to literally do whatever you like. The only goal in this game is to go up, and up. And they utilize so many aspects of this, where the best one is you have some sort of stamina meter, and this stamina meter is only used when you're basically doing something that takes like the energy out of your character. Just walking around in this game is not like that hard for your character itself,
right?
But when it comes to this game, have you played it yourself?
Me, unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to play it at all. I mean, busy schedule and all, but it is definitely on my wish list.
Yeah. And now that you know it's not a long game, I think it can kind of become like a priority game as well, maybe. You know?
Oh, no. No, I have to judge priorities. Oh, boy.
It's like asking somebody when they have a backlog. It's like, hey, which one is your favorite? Which one is going to get next? But I love them all.
I know. It's. I know. As I look back at my shelves, like, oh, all these games that are piling up.
Yeah, yeah. No, that feeling. What if we who play and make like VGM podcasts, maybe we should prioritize like game wise according to music and what people like about the soundtracks. That would be a whole other type of type of priority.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Anyway, when it comes to A Short Hike, we have the composer, who's a Canadian, Mark Sparling. He hasn't worked on too much when it comes to video game music, but I definitely adore the Beach Bud and the Short Hike track here. Looking at when he started out, he actually haven't worked for too long. He started out in 2015 working on the game Bad Sector. He worked on a game called XOB back in 2019. He did one song for Chante and the Seven Sirens, which was apparently released for mobile, which I didn't know. I think I've heard about this, but I was too unsure. And then he also worked on Curse to Golf back in 2022. So it's not too many games, but I like the kind of serenity of having like the width that it seems to be working on. Like a game named Bad Sector doesn't sound like the music kind of works in this game of Short Hike. And I know the soundtrack in Chante works, so Feels like he's got a lot of strings on his lyre. I like it. Have you heard anything, any music of these other games that I talked about here from Mark? Or is this a new composer for you as well?
Well, this is definitely a new composer for me. And who knows, maybe I'll have to make a new episode about Canadian composers. I'll think maybe. About that. Bad Sector, never heard of. XOB, unfortunately, nope. Shantae, yes, I have heard of the series before. And it's actually some pretty good music in there. Now,
have you played any of the games in the series?
No, unfortunately.
No.
Time has become a precious commodity for me lately, so it's trying to find the time and the enthusiasm, if that makes any sense to be. I'm just so busy these days. You know, I yearn for my college years.
That's why I kind of like going on like a train or a bus or something, because then you can utilize like your mobile phone, or you can utilize some sort of handheld. So when I did some work, when I had like 2 hours of just one way travel, the amount of games I completed during that time. Oh my damn.
Nice.
It was a great, nice little, but then Cursed Golf, you were kind of stopped you there.
Yeah, Cursed Golf, actually, I came across it on Steam, and I was very intrigued by the gameplay, although the story is actually very fascinating, too. So that's on my wish list as well.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, I don't know for sure, so this is kind of information I kind of pull out of my ass, but if I remember correctly, the Cursed Golf is also created by the same people that kind of worked on A Short Hike. Might have been a little bit more. Or I might be totally wrong, but if I remember correctly, it's the same people. So looking at The Short Hike and the people behind the game here, the game was developed by the Canadian studio Whippoorwill Limited. It's like Whippoorwill. Yeah. Basically, it is consisting of the Canadian guy, Adam Robinson Yu, with a little bit more of support of some other handful people working a little bit with additional on art and so on. The game was released back in 2019 and was initially released on PC, Mac, and Linux. And in 2020, the game was released on the Nintendo Switch, and the PS4 and Xbox Series were released in 2021. So that's kind of all the information I have on this game. And for me, it was a short game. It was nice, sweet. And I definitely recommend this to people that just like this kind of zen-ness into it, in a short, sweet, and just a nice little game, to be honest. Felt like playing one of those simpler NES games back in the day, just that it was cuter.
Well, you definitely got me convinced.
I'm all up for it. But there's another game now I want to talk about, and it's the next one up on the list. I definitely enjoyed this remix that you pulled out here. Never heard of this game, so I'm just definitely excited to hear more about this. I hope. But this is the track Forest from the game Boktai, The Sun Is In Your Hand, and this is a Sega Genesis remix. Thank you. There we're fading out. Boktai, The Sun Is In Your Hand, and this was the track Forest, a Sega Genesis remix. And this was your first pick of the week, or how I kind of placed it in this case, because I want to save the best for last, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, this was my first pick. It was Boktai, The Sun Is In Your Hand. It was originally developed by Konami Computer Entertainment Japan, published by Konami, of course, for the Nintendo Game Boy Advance. Got a list of composers here. Norihiko Hibino, Suichi Kobori, Kazuki Muraoka, and Masashi Watanabe. And this remix is actually based on the original track, Forest. And this was actually the remix track was done by The Legend of Renegade.
Do you have any other information about this Legend Renegade? Or is this some new remix artist for you as well?
From what I've seen from his work, he's been doing it for quite a while, and I have played remix some of his work in other episodes as well. If I recall correctly, I believe I encountered him while I was doing an episode on Earthbound.
Ooh, that's nice. I've never heard of this guy before, even though I kind of enjoy my fair share of remixes as well. With this track going on, I definitely need to check it out more.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah, I do come across some international musicians that do covers and remixes as well. I mean, first thing that comes to mind is a lady named Ginger Tail over in Russia. Oh, God, I love her voice. She is wonderful. there's also a few others over in South America. I mean, Ferd K is another one that I just did recently.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Fear Emil. She's a wonderful musician as well, and often does collabs with String Player Gamer.
Mm-hmm.
He's another cover musician who plays the electric violin. Yep,
oh, that's awesome. No, it's, to me, just trying to get into the remix world as well. Of course, I just love the demo scene back in the day, going to LAN parties and so on. I just always try to get as much demo scene work as possible with me before I left that place. And that kind of made me go into remixes quite early. Remixes and covers, to be honest. And I listened to my definitely fair share of remix and covers, way more than I did for the original music. But this also kind of transcended me over to listening to the original music, because there were so many people like, no, the original is better. And then I listened to it, and I was like, no, but I like the remixes better, in my opinion. But of course, there's a world where both can exist and correlate with each other, because without the original content, we don't have that many remixes.
Oh, yeah.
So when it comes for you, do you usually prefer one or the other, or are you like me, kind of just eating it all up?
You know, there are times where I enjoy the remix much more than the original, and a few times where, but most of the time it's, well, I guess it's a toss-up, and, you know, why not both?
So when it comes for the pick of this track, the track name is Forest for Summertime. Are you one of those that really enjoy walking out on hikes and so on by any chance?
Yeah, I used to enjoy doing that a lot, but you know, I just can't find the time for it. I just can't find time.
Yeah.
Now, of course, this game though does relate to sun, just not what you think it is. This game specifically has a light sensor on the cartridge, because you're supposed to actually play this in direct sunlight.
This is interesting. Do go on.
Well. For the few gamers that already know, and for those that don't, this game, Boktai, The Sun Is In Your Hands, was produced and designed by Hideo Kojima. And I know that for most gamers, Kojima is an instant recognition. Now it's in this game that you'll be exploring.
I've heard the name a couple of times.
Now it's in this game that you're exploring a labyrinth. And of course, sunlight is the key, because the character you play, he uses a gun that is powered by the sun. And being that this is a very special cartridge ball, you basically power your gun with direct sunlight. So there is a bit of an AR element mixed in with it.
Yeah.
Now, being this is, yeah. Now, being this is a Kojima game, yes, there is stealth involved. Moving silently, hugging the walls while walking, and trying to avoid direct visual contact with any enemies along the way.
That do sounds very... But I just love Boktai, the sun is in your hand, and you're having a handheld console, and the sun is powering up the weapon. It's just... It has Hideo Kojima written all over it. He's the one who usually ends up with these kind of design quirks or features for a game. Oh, it doesn't feel like anybody else is thinking about these things for games.
Oh, no. I'm sure most gamers remember playing Metal Gear Solid on the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the first time, actually feeling their controller vibrate was probably a shock. It's like, oh, dang.
God dang. Or meeting Psycho Mantis. You always knew games we were playing.
Yeah, that, and actually realizing you have to do something to do any damage to Psycho Mantis.
Mm.
That was definitely a direct immersion.
Yeah, definitely. I would use the word mindfuck, but some people don't like that F word.
That's one brusque way of saying it.
No, but it's really interesting getting to know all these kind of things. I never heard of a cartridge that requires, well, theoretically, maybe not requires. I mean, you can do a hard run in a basement, I guess.
I mean, just imagine all these game players are like trying to play with as much sunlight as possible, even trying to hug the windows like, oh, God, don't go down.
Or hoping that's not wonder, cloudy. Usually when you have these kind of solar panel kind of vibe, for example, clocks, have been utilizing solar power in order to power themselves up, but you can actually utilize just normal lamplight as well. So I guess that would kind of be the same for Boktai as well. So then I'm just wondering how many people are playing with the lamps on just really close to the cartridge.
Oh, I'm pretty sure there are. I'm pretty sure. Although it'll be interesting if they ever consider re-releasing this game on the Switch, how that would work out.
How would that work out? They changed the sunlight to have some, you need to blow into the mic all the time. Because I know you have the mic at least. or it just checks which time zone you're in, and it's like, we're just thinking you should have some sunlight right now. So it's not preferable to play it in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
But this game, was this one of those you played yourself as well, or something? Because this was the first time for me to ever hear about this game ever. I heard a lot about different Hideo Kojima games and so on, but never about Boktai.
Oh, well, yeah, I've heard about the game before, but at the time I was playing, I was not quite interested in it. You know, I was too busy playing Advance Wars.
Ah, that's nice. Advance Wars is nice as well. It's a nice series. I haven't played too many of them, but I tried them a little bit. Usually not my preferred style of playing, but because I'm not that great at it. But I did enjoy it to some extent.
Yep. And actually, that's also on my backlog too, since it's now re-released on the Switch.
Hmm. Nice.
Oh, Advance Wars. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. I thought we were talking about Boktai now.
Oh no! I think it's still a dream pipe for most gamers, I'm sure.
Yeah. We can always hope, at least, right? We'll see about that.
Yeah, just like we're waiting for Half-Life 3.
Yeah, definitely. Holy crap, will we ever see it? I just love, one of my favorite videos was when Gabe is just hammering on the crowbar. It's like, when is Half-Life 3 is coming? It's coming! Just keep banging on it.
While the world waits for Half-Life 3, how about we move on to this next game that I see on this list here.
The next three. And this is also like one of my favorite ones. This is one of my favorite songs to listen to during summers. Sadly, we cannot really find it anymore online. So I guess it's going to be more of an exclusive kind of track you can hear listening to my podcast. I've had it for such a long time. But this is the Wonder Boy 3 Side Crawler's Dance, Wrestles Over the Top Edit. there we have it, folks. The Wonder Boy 3 Side Crawler Stanza wrestles over the top edit. And this was specifically a remix made by Daniel Wrestle, or as he's called online, Brandon Walsh. But as I said prior to the song, basically it kind of fell off the world everywhere. There's really hard time trying to get to his old music and so on. And that was back in 2012. He was active with a podcast called Bitar till Kaffet, which is Bites to the Coffee, which was a Swedish podcast where they just randomly talked a little bit about this and that. I never listened to this podcast myself because I didn't really get into the podcast sphere that much until after 2012, I would say. Not like I am today. But he was also pretty active in the C64 scene, which was super fun. So we actually did release a couple of original content music through the SID chip. And I just adore a lot of his music. But as I said, it's really hard getting by and getting these tracks today. But when it comes to the Wonder Boy games here, first of all, the third one, since I haven't played too many of the other ones, I know of them. But I this was one of the first games that I kind of tried more enthusiastically. Was actually the Wonder Boy, the Dragon's Trap, the remaster, the remix that they released through limited the game runs on the PS4 and Xbox and so on. I don't remember all the releases they did, but they released on multiple consoles. So where you have all these really neat, nice graphics, hand-drawn and everything, and I just adored it. And you can switch back and forth between the art and the music. It was just too good, in my opinion, just enjoying that Sega. I think it was Master System it was released for initially. I don't think it ever had a release on the Mega Drive or the Genesis. Do you have any kind of remembrance or connections to the Wonder Boy series, Martyrs?
Well, I have heard of the game before. My only problem was that at the time I was into Nintendo.
I'm a Nintendo boy as well.
But I didn't get any Sega console whatsoever.
You didn't have any friends or anything that had, or was the Sega versus Nintendo war too intense?
Probably part of that, but also the fact that most of my friends were into Nintendo.
Oh, okay. So everybody had a Nintendo. Great too. I mean, then you can just borrow games back and forth from everybody.
Oh God, I miss those days.
Yeah, definitely do. Definitely do. But those were better days.
Yeah, but now I have no excuse for it since I believe they re-released it for the Switch. I think.
I'm pretty sure they did. I'm a little bit unsure, but I'm like 99% sure. But I just, when it comes to this Side Crawler's Dance, doesn't really say much about summertime, right? But actually, the Side Crawler's Dance is actually a reference to crabs as they are walking sideways, the Side Crawlers. And you can actually hear this specific track, not the remix, but the original track. You can hear this while visiting the beaches and while you're going underwater as well. So there's a large section of this game where you can just enjoy. And the original one has more of a kind of tropical vibe to it, while this one is more of a dance part of the track with the remix. But of course, has a little bit of a dance originally as well. But as we got it, it has more of the vibe as a tropical theme. Which would have been more summertime than it is, but I just love this track and would rather reference this to the game itself rather than the song being summertime vibey.
Ah, that's why it's called Side Crawlers.
Yes. But from what I understood, this was the first track you listened to this track as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what was your initial idea of this track when you listened to it?
You know, it just has this nice funky backbeat to it. You know, and you know, to me, it sounds, I guess as a gamer, it sounds like, I guess, a background track for a world.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's nice.
But now that you've said that it's released to crabs, like, okay, now I can see it. And now I see images of crabs clinking their claws as they're dancing side to side.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that crab rave video we got like a couple of years ago. Just those CGI crabs. Dun, 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 dun. Is that the next thing? If we're ever getting a remake again on this game, we're getting that one instead. Dancing crabs, raving.
We will see.
But yeah, looking at the information for this game, Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap is the original title for this game. Not like the re-release they did, which was just Wonder Boy, The Dragon's Trap. The track here was not specifically the track, but every track on this OST was composed by the Japanese Shinichi Sakamoto. And the game was developed by the Japanese Wii Stone and Sega Enterprise, like a co-work there together between the studios. This game was initially released back in 1989, so it's about the same age as me. It's crazy. I'm still older, though, but still close on the Sega Master System. But it also has since then been released on other consoles, such as the TurboGrafx-16 in 1990, the Game Gear in 1992, so it became handheld. And then lastly on the Wii through the virtual store. Of course, it's not available anymore on the Wii store because they did close that one down. And they also did remaster it back in 2017. And that's basically the game. I knew of this track way longer before 2017. But I just adored when I knew about this game. I was like, okay, everybody has to been talking about the Wonder Boy series. I need to get my hands on this. And since I don't have any Sega consoles at all, and I didn't want to get a Sega Master System just for the game, when I noticed the remaster, I was like, I need to get this. And boy, I am not... I just enjoyed every piece of it. Of course, it's an older game, so you can get that grasp and feel of it. But everything was so good, from the art, and you can go back and forth between the music and the art. And the controls just worked really great and well for this game. I just enjoyed it from start to finish, even though hard sometimes. Frustration is always when it comes to older games.
Well, you definitely got me convinced.
So now you have two games that are moving up on your priority list.
More to add to the backlog.
God damn it. I shouldn't have joined this goddamn podcast. It's too good. Music. But that is also... This is also one of the worst things when you're just enjoying... either if you're hanging out talking to people or if you're listening to a podcast with really great hosts. They're always... get you hooked on some games. I've been in that trap so many times. Like, they talk about a specific game and I was just like, I need to get this. One of my like first memories considering that was like this duo were talking about this game on PS2 called God Hand. Do you know of this game?
Oh yeah, I know of that game.
Yeah, I actually got a new PS2 just to get that game.
Oh wow.
That's how excited I got for that game. And I just loved it. It was really hard, but I was laughing so hard with that game. I loved it. But that is kind of a curse, but also a blessing in my opinion when you're listening to video game music and so on, because I kind of get in between. I don't know about you, but If you're the same as me or if you're different, sometimes since we are listening to music, it sometimes can actually be easier for us to just get the OST, because more and more tracks are released on CD or vinyl today. Of course, I don't have a vinyl player, but just getting it download as a digital download of an MP3 file or actually getting a CD is something that is more plausible today to get than it was yesteryear and so on. How do you feel about this when you hear somebody or you listen to a soundtrack that is good? Do you prefer to get the video game and listen to it through the game, or are you down to get like a digital download just to listen to it in your phone or something like that?
You know, most of the time when I listen to the music, that draws me to the game, and a very good example of that was Child of Light.
Child of Light is really nice. I was actually talking about that not long ago.
I remember watching the behind the scenes video for the music of Child of Light and listening to Vitor yeah, listening to Vitas Martin explain her process. And mm-hmm. I listening to it bits in here and there, I was like, oh, this is beautiful. I love this. So I went forward and got the game, played and completed it and finished mm-hmm. it. And it was just, and I enjoyed the whole soundtrack as well. It's a rarity for me to be drawn to a game because of the music. And that's just one of the mm-hmm. best examples right there.
Have you had any other similar experience through that? Or is that just something that usually happens for you? Or
I'm trying to think. I guess the next one would probably be Persona 5. I mean, Choji Meguro, he's just an awesome composer.
It's always nice. For me, that there was this game called The Helltaker. It's like a small indie game, like a guy who worked on a puzzle game. You're basically like a human going down to hell, trying to mac up some demons. So you want to like get some demon girls. And it's such hilarious game. But that I actually got into that game because of a fan song they some girls on YouTube made as like a tribute to the game. And I shown this to multiple of my friends, and they also got interested into this game. And then I was just playing it, enjoyed it really. It's just a small short, but everything is so freaking good in my opinion. I really adored everything. But I tend to see this happening to me more and more in the last years. So I'm really enjoying where we kind of have come up to. It's not about getting references all the time, having like a PC Gamer or IGN telling us what to play. We can actually listen and enjoy music today and get into experiences. And to me, that's just wonderful.
Yeah, reviews are nice. You know, and that's provided that the person that's doing the review has actually played the game long enough and has gotten into it. But you know, I have to agree, these days it's, you know, I'm more drawn to, I guess, personal experiences with video games, you know, speaking with, you know, certain people like yourself and of course Brunel from Rhythm and Pixels.
Yeah,
so enthusiastic about video games. It's like he talks about one game and all of a sudden people are like, oh, I gotta play that game now.
Yeah. Oh, so many times that they've been talking about the Magical Drop series. I was like, I've never played this game, and now I need to play it.
Yeah, I know. He actually, major confession here, if anyone's listening, he actually got me to playing Puyo Puyo when he's talking about it. So now I have that in Switch.
Oh, Puyo Puyo is so good. I got a little bit into Puyo Puyo thanks to a friend of mine. And then I noticed some other similar games, like you have Kirby's Ghost Trap or Kirby's Avalanche, which is also kind of similar Puyo Puyo style type of game. I'm just really stupid when I'm playing them, but I just enjoy them. But if I play against somebody that is just really good, I'm not having a good time because I'm just a super happy amateur on these games.
Well, then you definitely don't want to play against Purnell.
No. If Magical Drop is going to be similar to those kind of puzzle games, and since both Rob and Purnell are liking these games, they're going to wipe the ass of my the floor with my ass and so on. Holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, enough of Rhythm and Pixels and Purnell and Rob here. I think since we're talking a little bit about good music and so on, I said in the beginning of this episode that we were keeping the best for last because I really adore this song that you sent to me. So I think it's time for us to kind of go wild with this one so everybody else know what we're talking about.
Oh,
right?
Boy. Yes, definitely.
It is time. This is Genshin Impact, the Blossoms of the Summer Night. This is Yomiya's theme, and this is a band cover. Blossoms of the Summer Nights. Holy damn, this was a Yomiya theme from Genshin Impact, a band cover. This track really, when I was listening through your picks of this week, I was just swept off the floor with this one. I really enjoyed the video, I really enjoyed the track. Have never listened to the original prior to this. I actually gave the original a listen just to compare it a little bit. I didn't go through the whole of it, but I just really adore this one. And this cover was posted through the Has Studios YouTube channel. He is the drummer in this song as well. So it seems like he has or are working on some video game and anime covers from time to time. And I just really adore this one.
Oh,
what's
yes,
your take on Genshin Impact and the game and this track?
Oh, you really want to ask me that question since I am a Genshin player?
Everybody sit back and enjoy. It's going to be a long episode.
Well, first and foremost, I'm going to say right off the bat, it is not for everyone. You know, but if you have the time and are very much enthused about such a game, you know, Genshin Impact, you know, developed by miHoYo, published by miHoYo in China and HoYoverse worldwide. It is available on many platforms, Microsoft Windows, on the PlayStation 4 and 5, and on the mobile devices, both Google and Apple. And the original composer for that remix was by Yuping Chen, of which I happened to do an episode for Masters of VGM on 73. But yeah, Genshin Impact, it is a wonderful action RPG game in which you are exploring the world of Teyvat as a lone traveler. Yes, you have a companion, not as annoying as certain companions from a certain Link series.
Hey, listen.
Oh gosh. But yeah, you will travel through this world of Teyvat, going through several regions here and there. There are currently four that are open right now. Recent one being Sumeru. And right now everyone's excited about the next region to open, which is Fontaine.
Mm-hmm.
And each region, of course, has its own aesthetics, its flavors. And of course, you'll be a cast of characters that will join your party to help along the way and figure out what is going on and why you happen to land in this world.
We're still thinking about that. I thought that was already from the beginning. We haven't figured that out yet. Genshin,
no, you basically land in this world with no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
But throughout your travels through Teyvat, you'll learn bits and pieces here and there, along with the lore of the land as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sumeru, which is recent, you actually learn a bit more of your own personal backstory, so it's interesting. Mm.
That's nice, because you're kind of thrown in and shown the beginning, like a classic Yondo nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So you literally have nothing to go on in the beginning, and you're just thrown into this like lustrous, vibrant world. Filled with the kind of danger and luster. It's just a beautiful world in the beginning.
Oh yeah, it's a really beautiful world. Very beautiful. Yeah, and as I said, you know, each region that you encounter, it has its own personal aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mondstadt, for example, it looks like it's something out of Europe because of the architecture of the buildings. And then the next region you go to is Liyue. And of course, you know, the buildings, they look like they came from China. And, you know, as you go in Inazuma, it's based on Japan. And Sumeru, it's got a bit, you know, don't quote me on this, but it's got a bit of that Indian Egyptian flavor.
Okay. There.
Interesting, because the ecosystem in Sumeru, it's half forests and jungles, and the other half is a desert.
And that's really interesting, just having multiple kind of biomes in different regions as well. It's because you utilize that in order to have and tell a story as well, like environmental story. And it's so interesting that they're kind of utilizing inspiration or homages to a real world, making their own world that is Genshin Impact. It's just, in my opinion, it's beautiful.
Oh, yes, it is beautiful. And the music is beautiful to match as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yuping Chen is a wonderful composer, combining both traditional and modern instruments.
Hmm. Well, as I remember from the music, it kind of has this overall serene tracks when you're walking around and exploring the world of Genshin mm-hmm. Impact. Don't remember that much specifically about the battle music and so on. I know you have some sort of boss battle music when you're coming to the end of a dungeon and so on, but I don't remember that much more surrounding battle music specifically.
Oh, maybe some you of the can fill me in on that. Good. Mm. Oh yeah, some of the battle music is pretty good as well. Yeah, and yet it still matches the instrumentation for that region.
Hmm, it's nice. But specifically for the Blossoms of the Summer Night, considering that this is Yomiya's theme, Yomiya is, of course, a specific character, most likely. Or is this a theme for a region?
This is actually her character theme when she was first introduced back in August 10th of 2021. She was part of a wish event for the Tapestry of Golden Flames.
Hmm.
She hails from the Inazuma region, from the Narukuma Island, and is currently the owner of the Naganohara Fireworks. So, of course, her vision or element is pyro, or fire.
Of course it is. So maybe the Blossoms of the Summer Night is a reference to a night of fireworks, like a celebration then, I guess.
Oh, yes. Definitely, definitely.
That's always nice, because you usually see this kind of reference in Japanese history as well, utilizing flower, hanabi, or blossom as some sort of firework expression. Don't know if we have that many references in English to that. Definitely not in Swedish, I would say, even though fireworks can have a resemblance of beautiful flowers and so on, but we never really reference it as flowers.
I don't know, but yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, Japan is definitely known for their fireworks, especially around the summertime, if I recall correctly.
That's nice. No, I really adore both of the tracks that you picked for this week, both having that fire part and the forest part, and then the blossom here, going out on a really great track here. But It was nice talking to you a little bit more about the summertime vibes per se. So usually when it comes to summer tracks and so on, if we can go a little bit deeper here on when you listen to video game music during summer times, is there any specific genre that you like to listen to more? Or are you still all the time, every time of the year, just like an all eater?
I guess for me personally, it's pretty much all year, Whenever I find a track that interests me, I'll go ahead and add it to my playlist.
Mm-hmm. And the full playlist is on repeat all the time, right?
Well, of course. Why not?
For me, I tend to go back to my nostalgic tracks. I really like having some sort of summer vibe because I tend to walk way more during summertime when the sun is out than any other time of the year. It's because mostly that is just nicer generally. And for me, listening to tracks that has some sort of pirate theme or some sort of summer happiness theme usually tends to help when I'm out walking. So one of my absolute favorite tracks, not considering these that I picked today, that I tend to return to is from Secret of Mana, and the specific track Color of the Summer Sky. That one is just pure amazement for me. Just walking around, just feeling the wind in my hair, there's nothing better. It's like getting recovery on, like through a syringe or something like that. I don't know, but it's like having a cat purring on you. It's like having that healing kind of vibe to it.
Yes,
maybe that's way better.
Yes, that relaxing feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
no, definitely. So there are some of these tracks that I just tend to return to over and over again, and especially more likely during summer times. Other times, of course, I can listen to like anything at any point in time, but I tend to be more repetitive with my music choices during these times, because it becomes kind of like a personal journey for me, and I know it's time for summer again, and then I just listen to something that makes me feel safe to some extent. That's nice.
That's fair.
It would be interesting to see what the listeners think about their summertime. What are you guys listening to out there in the world, in video game music and so on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Definitely. I'm always thinking about these kind of questions: what people listen to, what drives them. It's kind of part of me trying to understand the psychology of it all as well. It's like, why do you tend to listen to these kind of things? Like, oh, but I grew up with this, but the games are really hard. Nobody likes them. Why do you play them? Why do you love the music so much? Because it's like, yeah, it was the only game I got for 5 years, so I made the best out of it. And I loved the game to the end. Like, there's a story behind everything. And I just think it's like, that's the way more interesting in getting to know like what you bought on Walmart or whatever last time. Mm-hmm. So much fun.
Even more fun when you actually meet those people.
Yeah. It's not happening too much too often today. Everybody keeping distance and everybody's being by themselves. If you ever go home to somebody, they go like, oh, I haven't cleaned, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. Why are you even here? It's like, what the hell? We used to hang out and be cool with each other before.
Yeah, know what you mean.
It is what it is. We're growing up, everybody, and the society are changing. But in contrast to this, do you have anything else you want to talk about surrounding specifically Genshin Impact here? Or should we walk to the next part of the episode?
Really not much more I can say for those that are very familiar with Genshin Impact. MiHoYo's done a pretty good job with their game so far. For me personally, I definitely enjoy Genshin Impact, even though it has an MMO element. Most of the time, I am playing it by myself. Enjoying the music, enjoying the aesthetics, and getting frustrated with the battles here and there. But it's still a great game to me.
Yeah, and that's the most important part, that it is for you. And you put this on your own terms as well. So you're not just doing all this grind because you have to. You're enjoying it because you still get like the environmental story. You can still find new pieces here and there, maybe in the world. Of course, sometimes you might do the grinding part and it will be frustrating, but you can still go to another place somewhere in the world of Genshin. Maybe you will find somebody that needs help and you can help them out and have a good time through that. It's all about the fun in the end. But I think that's where we kind of close off with Genshin. I want to hear a little bit more about... Do you want to talk a little bit more about your podcast? Because I've listened to a couple of episodes, but some of my listeners, or I would say a majority of my listeners, might not have listened to your podcast. So please, take it away.
Oh, boy. Here we go. It's the promo part. And it's the promo part. Well, just to reiterate, I am Martis, the host of RevGM. A podcast about video game music in which I play covers, remixes, and arrangements of original video game tracks. You can definitely go to my website at re-vgm.com. You'll find the episodes I've done with show notes, track listing, and a YouTube playlist for each of them. You'll also find a list of all the remix and cover artists on my remix info page. They'll have links to their appropriate stuff, such as their websites, their social media, and any of their works, and their support pages. And I definitely do strongly suggest you support these artists, because without them, I don't think we'd be able to enjoy video game music even more.
Definitely.
And since you all are listening to this podcast, in addition to hopefully subscribing, you can also subscribe to my podcast as well. You'll find it on most major streaming services like Spotify, Apple Music, or Amazon Music, and a few other places such as Podbean, Podcast Index, and Good Pods. But in general, whatever your favorite podcast app is, you might find me there as well. And finally, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. Actually, no, wait. That's X.
It's X now. It's so bad. We can make an episode just by talking about X and how bad it is.
Oh, no, no. But that wouldn't be video game related.
I know. But we can talk about how bad it is.
Yeah. You can follow me on those two platforms at RE_VGM. And in general, you can actually DM me through those for a topic to suggest, a track to play on the show, or perhaps you can suggest a cover remix artist to consider. Unless you yourself are a cover remix artist. In that case, I've got some special episodes that we can feature on in addition to the regular episodes, like On Stage Now and At the Listening Lounge.
I actually might have one for you right away. He can send you his information. We'll see where you guys can take it from there.
Ooh, I'll have to consider that. I will have to confess that I have yet to dip my toe into the realm of interviewing people on my show. So once I get the nerve to do it, I'll do it.
It's always nice. For me, it is one of the best things to have other people to talk to. Because people might think it's too awkward when me laughing to myself at my own jokes. When I'm all by myself. But it is what it is.
Yeah. It's just me trying to get the logistics of it all. That's all. Yep. Everything else can follow through from that. Eventually I will. But for now, the next best thing I have are some episodes I've recorded in which I actually go out on the street and interview people about video game music.
That's nice. Need to check those out as well. It's always fun when you have something new that I haven't been listening to before. It's like, never really listened to people going around asking people things in that sense.
Oh yeah,
I need to. I'm getting interested in it.
Yeah, I've done a couple so far at several events I've attended. Like, let's see. The recent one I did was Bok Anime, which is an anime convention event over in Bakersfield, California.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've done a few others at the SoCal Gaming Expo in Ontario, California, not Ontario, mm-hmm. Canada. A few episodes there. And well, if I had the finances, I would have been able to get some interviews over at Mag West. Mm-hmm. As I said, Rage Gage from VGM Forum is probably the next best thing.
Okay.
But there's another upcoming event for video game music over here in SoCal. So I'm definitely going to be there and out there with my mic getting interviews.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Sweet.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to add in? Well, you still have the spotlight on.
Oh, gosh. I wonder why I'm sweating so much.
It's hot in spotlight.
Well, I mean, I guess first and foremost, for any of you that are listeners of my show or just having to discover it, you know, I definitely thank you all and I appreciate you listening and following me. Mm-hmm. You know, please support these artists, you know, and support the podcasters as well.
That's awesome. Now, I always, as usual, support the composers behind the music is the most important thing. Without them, this wouldn't be anything, really. It would be us not talking in a podcast, most likely, because there wouldn't be any music to talk about. So, yeah, definitely support the people behind it. Being a composer is not something that is high and fancy. Of course, we can hear a lot about different composers that are well more known than others. But overall, it's usually people sell the full soundtrack and their work is done. They're not getting any royalties and so on. So it's more like about people having a name on a product rather than people earning the money at the end of the day. So it's very important to have that kept in mind. So having this support and getting some extra income for these guys so they can keep living their dreams is very important for them and of course for us listening to the tracks.
Definitely.
But yeah, Martus, thank you so much for joining in on this week's episode. I know it was a little bit quick here, but I really thank you so much for joining in. It's been a blast talking to you, getting to know you a little bit better, because we've only been basically nicknames on the screen on Rhythm and Pixels Discord, talking a little bit back and forth from time to time. Not too much, but some here and there at least.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely appreciate you having me on your show. Definitely. It was an opportunity, and you know, as me branching out, trying to get on more shows to guest on. But definitely appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. And you're more than welcome to join in at another time when you feel like a theme is working well for you as well. Or if you want to talk about something specific in the future. So,
get me started.
I just did. Anyway, for everybody else out there, you can find other episodes of Gameable Audio over at our homepage, videospelsklubben.se, Spotify, or in your closest podcast app. Feel free to follow and comment on any of our one social medias, either on Facebook or Instagram. Just search for Gameable Audio and you'll find it. You can also support this podcast for future content upgrades and specifically quality upgrades, but also in the end, future composers. So think about becoming a Patreon. So currently our amazing Patreon that we have today is Daniel Onemark, Lars Schenström, Titti Schenström, Kevin Wikström, and Mike Björkholm. Thank you so much for being a part and supporting this podcast, buying in the music, and in the end, me getting some new equipment. And hopefully in the end, we will get another co-host with me on this, or as I can move around a little bit more, having interviews eye to eye with composers, which would be just amazing, in my opinion. Links to where you can either buy or support the composers behind the music that we have listened to today will be found in our main post at videospelsklubben.se. And of course, Martyrs, I will make sure to have all your links as well for social media, and also where people can find your podcast, ReVGM. So it will be easy access in case they do forget what you said inside the podcast. Never know what people are doing when they're listening to the podcast nowadays, you know?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Yes, indeed. And thinking about the next episode, I'm actually going to be guest again. And this is none other than Francesco D'Agostino, which is a composer who is currently on his own little journey. And I'm just super excited to get into a conversation and an interview with this guy, because he hasn't worked on too many titles, so he's kind of new to this. But he also has some nice background things that I would definitely get into to talking to specifically about. But of course, that will be with him, not me babbling about it right now. So with that said, everybody, do take care out there, and see you all guys next time.
And everyone, be safe out there.